Welcome to Women in Politics, recorded here in the studios of WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond's independent radio. I'm Carol Olson, your host for Women in Politics. It's a platform to bring women together to talk about their engagement in politics, what's important to them, and what they want our representatives and delegates to hear. Following the presidential election in 2016, many liberal groups started and formed rather organically around the country in resistance to the potential for conservative politics to arise in Washington. One of these happened in North Chesterfield. Kim Drew Wright started Liberal Women of Chesterfield County as an idea to get together other like-minded people and step up, realizing that the popular vote didn't work and that more people needed to get out there and be involved in politics. Her idea was to build an underground resistance force, and by February, she was leading 1,500 women in a historically red county of Virginia. And now, she's bringing in three other members of her group today from Liberal Women of Chesterfield County. The founder, Katie Sponsler, Christy Glass, Larry Barnett, and Kim Drew Wright. Thanks for coming in, everybody.
Thank you for having us.
It's good to be here.
Since I have four people sitting in the station with me today, how about each of you take a turn introducing yourself for a minute? Kim, do you want to start?
Sure. I'm Kim Drew Wright, and I founded Liberal Women of Chesterfield County 2 days after the presidential election, and it has grown from just a handful of people to over 2,000 currently. And we get a few people, I think, every day that join. So we are still very energized and motivated, and we have a great group of people.
Larry?
Yes, good morning. I'm Larry Barnett. I'm a candidate for the 27th House of Delegates District, and I'm also a member of LWCC.
I'm Christy Glass. I run one of the neighborhood groups for Liberal Women of Chesterfield County. It's gotten so big that we have split off a little bit into smaller groups so that we can actually meet face-to-face and still be engaged in our local communities.
I'm Katie Sponsler. I'm as well a candidate for the 66th House of Delegates seat. I'll be taking on the Speaker of the House and Kirk Cox, and I am also a member of Liberal Women of Chesterfield County.
So what drew all of you to getting involved in politics?
I think it was really a gut reaction to the election results. And at first I thought I would just have like a handful of people to commiserate with, but it's really quickly grown into an action-based environment. There's so many people that want to get involved now. They want their voices heard, and we want to affect change in Chesterfield County and beyond.
For me, I've been involved in public service in Chesterfield County for a long time, but I really have not been as involved in local organizations that are advocating for change. Like Kim, I think after the presidential election, I really felt it was a call to action. It was a time to be more involved locally and got engaged with a number of groups and fortunately met people in LWCC and joined, and it really has helped me just get much more deeply involved in our community.
And for me, I live in Chester, so we're a little bit more of southern Chesterfield County. I felt pretty isolated down there. It's not as liberal of an area. So for me, it was more along the lines of just trying to get connected with people around me to feel less alone after the presidential election.
I spent 15 years in federal service, so I wasn't really eligible to get politically involved. I've been a social and a community advocate for years, but seeing what happened in November really drove me to take my voice to a platform where it could be elevated and actually make a difference. I think on top of everything else, we saw somebody who wasn't involved in politics ascend. And so it was time for those of us who were not involved and didn't have the experience to go ahead and work ourselves into ascending.
And Chesterfield has been fairly conservative for a number of years. Is that not correct? Or do you think that it's just been visually conservative, but actually, obviously, there's a growing liberal community?
I was very surprised by the number of people that are so excited about our group. And I joke that I think it's the first time we have bumper stickers now. And I think it's the first time I've ever seen Chesterfield and liberal together, you know, connected in any way. But I think just the level of excitement from our members and enthusiasm shows that I think we've been here for a long time. We've just been quiet.
I agree. I think the outcome of the presidential election was very close in Chesterfield County, 48 to 51. And One of the important things with elections is many people do care about it, but we have many people in our communities who do not turn out and vote. And I think in the wake of the election in November, we anticipate many more people will realize elections are important and will turn out in the future. But I, too, think Chesterfield County is probably a much more progressive county and with many more people looking to the future than it seems to be.
So I think for me, one of the biggest things I learned from the presidential election was sharing articles on Facebook isn't activism. So I had to sort of change what I was doing. You know, I was thinking I was just getting the information out there without really knowing how local government worked or how things progressed below the presidential level. So it's changed a lot of my perspective since then because, you know, there is an active part of activism, and I wasn't doing it before.
So I think as a transplant to Chesterfield County, I see a little bit of a different side of it in that I see the transplant community, and it's a large community with all the federal agencies that surround the county and operate within the county. I think there are a lot of folks that maybe weren't engaging as much because they were new to the area, and there is definitely that idea that you're carpetbagging or you don't belong here. So we were quiet, but I never didn't see progressives and liberals, as I said, working in the community and socially. Those folks were standing next to me. Those folks were at the crisis intervention centers with me. So I definitely knew they were there.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Women in Politics, recorded here in the studios of WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond's independent radio. Now back to our show.
But I think politically active, we're seeing a huge change. I don't think that they're new, though. I think they've always been there. It just hasn't been loud political voices.
And Chesterfield has a large Latina community and immigrant community. How are they factoring in? Because they're obviously not being portrayed well and represented well, say, in national politics at this time. And they've been traditionally conservative before. Do you see any change in that community?
We have. It's funny you asked that question because last night we had a large meeting and we had several candidates speak. And actually, Perriello was there. And a Latino lady came up and asked a question about, you know, basically, will you protect us? You know, the ones of us who have children that were born here. And I think she got a standing ovation for her question. And I think half the audience were in tears. And afterwards, she said she felt so, you know, supported by our group that she was scared to ask the question. And then, you know, we welcomed her so warmly that it really touched her, I think. We also have we have advocacy groups, many of them, but one of them is a Latina immigration, and we try to work with them. We have a lady who is actually a lobbyist, and she does a great job keeping us informed with that activity. But it is overwhelming, and I'm sure that community is especially overwhelmed with some of the policies that are in effect or going into effect with the Trump administration.
Yes, maybe just to add to that, I do think not just for that community, but a lot of minority communities are fearful right now because of the actions of the current administration. And it's really changed the climate for a lot of people in our communities. And I think it's one of the areas where LWCC really stands up for everyone in the community. And there's a very strong value around equality and all people being respected and having their rights protected. So I think really standing up against something that we see as really harmful to a lot of our neighbors, our friends, the people who live in our community.
I think that the hardest part for that group is being able to speak up without fear. Right? When you come out and you say that I'm speaking on behalf of undocumented immigrants, and you are an undocumented immigrant, it can be very, very frightening. And I think that's what's great about advocacy groups is it gives your allies a chance to know exactly what your issues are. And we do see a lot of those advocates feeling emboldened to speak and allow us as allies to represent them and understand what they are truly facing. I don't know that any of the ones that we talk to are conservative, but so I don't know that it's changing because the ones I'm meeting are, of course, liberal since they're in a group that starts their name with that. But they are definitely speaking.
The KKK has had a presence in Chesterfield County at times, and their association with the alt-right nationally has become rather entrenched. How do you deal with that presence in your county, in your localities?
I haven't really seen it. I know I have heard rumors that I know one of the members had said that they had received a letter at some point. I don't know if that was a recent letter or an older letter from the KKK. I do know that we would fight it with all we have if that became an issue. Like if I haven't seen their presence, but if I started seeing their presence, LWCC would definitely fight that as hard as we can with everything we've got.
And I think groups like that usually represent a very small number of people. And it's unfortunate. There's often, they can create quite a ripple effect in the community that's very negative and very damaging. So groups like LWCC and other groups that stand up for what most people want, I think would be in strong opposition to any kind of hate-filled message.
And another thing is we're just working on being as diverse as possible to make sure that our group is inclusive. The larger we are and the more inclusive we are, the more we impact the county.
I think from the federal law enforcement standpoint, I see a lot of these groups as protesters and marching. I worked with the National Park Service for 4 years in the area, and we definitely saw some groups that go along those lines. I think what the end result is, as people who run on inclusivity and love, that we give that back. And a lot of times that's the hardest thing for them to meet. They understand anger, they understand fear, but smiling and saying, okay, well, I understand you feel that way, but I don't, and walking away is incredibly powerful, because they want you to yell. And we don't really need to yell. Our message is better, so we don't have to scream it.
And in talking about religious orientation, there's been a misconception, I think, promoted that people who are Orthodox in their religion or are always conservative. And do you find that to be true?
No. I have friends across the whole political spectrum and also across a variety of religious beliefs and those who don't have any at all. And they fall all along the continuum. Some of those people are very liberal. Some of those people are more conservative. Many people are a blend of the two, you know, depending on what the issue is. And so I don't find that to be an exclusion factor at all for people who are involved with more liberal or progressive organizations.
Yes, and I agree. We have a few members who are dealing with that. They're religious, but they're liberal. And they have questioned that, like, why, you know, are there more of us out there? And how do we handle that perceived notion that all religious people are conservative when we're not? So I agree with Larry that it's not always as it seems, maybe in the national media. Or
if you just tuned in, you're listening to Women in Politics, recorded here in the studios of WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond's independent radio. Now back to our show.
And just an example of how the numbers play out with that. In my local group, I set up a coffee hour for Sunday mornings, and I had to start alternating it because we have a good, even our little corner of the county that's only like 90 members right now, about half of them are active in their church community. So Sunday mornings didn't work for them. So we have to alternate now between Saturday afternoon and Sunday. So there's a good portion of religious members that are also liberal.
I just think that's a trick of language. I think that there's a certain element of the right that has claimed Christianity and claimed patriotism as their own. And I think that liberals need to take that back. I was raised very strongly in the Roman Catholic faith, and I believe that Jesus was a liberal. I'm very strongly perceptive of what my religion and what it teaches. And I think that's about giving to my neighbors and taking care of each other and loving each other. And I'm fine if someone sees it a little bit differently than me, but I don't think that either side of the spectrum gets to claim God or the flag. I spent 10 years in the military as well. I am a foot stomp and flag waving patriot, and I am also a very strong liberal.
In talking about inclusivity within your group and in the party, there is certainly diversity within people who identify as liberal and Democrat, from what they called Blue Dog Democrats and progressive liberals and even all the way to anarchists. How do you hold those groups together? Because there has been certainly concern nationally that the Democratic Party sort of condensed that voice and view into one. And was that helpful or a detriment within the national election by streamlining what is really a very diverse voice within liberalism into one?
I do think we're a big tent party and value the voices of lots of people being part of this. And so there's many different issues that may be important to people that they stand strongly for. It's one of the challenges, I think, in any organization is how to hold all that together and have a sense of cohesiveness when you have many, many different people who are standing up for very different things. But I see that as our strength, the diversity. The more, it's richer. If you have many points of view, it can be a little noisy at times and difficult to kind of pull all that together. But at the end of the day, I think that makes for a stronger, richer fabric in our communities and in our society.
Do you feel like anarchists would fit within your tent?
You know, for me, every person first and foremost is a human being, a fellow human being. So person at a time. Like I would find that interesting to talk with that person. Well, what do you believe and why do you believe that? What are you for and why are you for that? And I find in those kind of conversations, most people there's a meeting of the minds that can take place with a little deeper digging. And some of the divisions that I think are often portrayed as being there in our communities and societies are not actually there when you go person to person.
And I think, you know, liberal women of Chesterfield County, it's based on being a support group, actually, for all liberals. There's that, but then there's also the practicality of how are we going to get our progressive values actually realized. So while we may welcome all liberals of all, you know, from one extreme to another, we don't endorse a candidate until after the primaries. I would hope, you know, I'm a Democrat, and I don't have a problem saying that to anyone. So I believe the most practical way to push our values through is in most cases going to be the Democratic candidate. Now, of course, there's always third party and we can take that on a case by case basis. It's like you have your advocacy issues and we have a lot of those, but you also have to get, it's like the advocacy issues are people in a car and the car are your politicians in the House and the Senate in Virginia. The car is broken. The people in the car are not going to advance very far, right? So we're always going to fight for our advocacy issues, but it's going to be a lot easier if we fight hard for our seats in the House. And we have 100 House races this year that are very important. And also, of course, the governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general. So I would like to see these House candidates gain a lot of seats because we're very weak in the House. And of course, we have to keep our governor this year.
If I can piggyback on what Kim is saying, I totally agree with her. I think the issue right now is our House of Delegates in Virginia doesn't reflect the people of Virginia. And the 2/3, 1/3 split we have is not the way our state is actually set up. So there's a whole host of issues underneath that. The first and foremost is we need to balance that and get candidates in where the conversation changes in our House of Delegates and in our governance to reflect the wishes and desires of the people in Virginia. And then I think secondly, it has to do with some things that both parties are at fault for, which is the gerrymandering that has taken place in the past. That needs to stop. It undermines democracy to have that for either party. So I think there's a lot of us who, once we're in office, will be working to make sure that that gets out of the hands of the politicians and is handled in a neutral way so that voters are choosing the representatives rather than having representatives choose their voters.
When we talk about the difference between how we identify ourselves, you know, some people choose liberal, some people choose independent, some people choose progressive. I think what's important for Democrats to remember is all of our issues fit together if you frame them under the proper word. And for me, that word is civil rights. Whether it's transportation, whether it's the economy, that's all about putting us all on equal ground. And we want equity. no matter who we are within the Democratic Party. And I think that in the last year, purity tests have become very in vogue for progressives. They want to see who's the best progressive and who's been the longest progressive. And they want to judge that based on who we're talking to and what we're running on. And I think if we understand as Democrats, as liberals, as progressives, as candidates, as advocates, that we all want the same thing, which is a world where we all start from the same line with the same advantages.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Women in Politics, recorded here in the studios of WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond's independent radio. Now back to our show.
We don't want to take anything away. We just want to create an equal playing field. And that's what we're doing across the board, whether it's the economy or the environment, or those things all relate to social, economic, and racial justice.
How receptive is the political world to women in our current political system? Women have been underrepresented a great deal in Virginia politics, and groups like yours have started since the election to work toward equalizing that. How receptive is the political world to women, do you think?
Well, I have to say, I'm so excited about this year and the number of women running right now. And Emily's List, which is a national organization that promotes female candidates, they had fewer than 1,000 females contact them in the 2 years prior to the presidential election. And in the 4 months since the presidential election, they've had over 10,000 females contact them about running for office. I know we have a lot of female candidates this year in Chesterfield County and Virginia, and Katie is one of them. I'm so excited that hopefully this year we'll get a record number of women in the House. It's funny, my son, he's in fourth grade, and we were going over his homework today, just this morning, and we were talking about governors of Virginia, and there's never been a female governor. And he really didn't want to talk about it. But then I pulled up the visuals of all the photos of the governors, you know, and I think it's ridiculous. I think in 2017, it's ridiculous that we've never had a female governor. We've never had a female president. We've got 17% women in our Virginia legislature. Okay, we're 50% of the population. Why are we 17% of the legislature? So, and I think women need to step up too. We need to stop asking if we should do something, and we should just do it. So I'm super excited, and Katie probably can tell you more about her efforts and how she's been received so far.
Sorry, I think the biggest problem right now is that as a response, that reactionary thing, what we're seeing is a lot of media, a lot of individuals that are seeing this as this quirky pussy hat, women's marcher, kind of, you know, the housewife that got off the couch and decided, like, being a LuLuRoo consultant, she was going to be a politician. And I think the best way that we can combat that is to get out there and to hear what these women are saying and to listen and to find out that these aren't flashes in the pan. These aren't women who dissent. They are amazing women. They are policy wonks. They are lawyers. They are medical practitioners. They are women who have been serving and assisting their communities for years. And it doesn't matter in which aspect they've been doing that. This might have been the motivator, but they've always been qualified. They've always had a story to tell. They've always had an amazing place. And we just need to start hearing that. And I think the large number of them this year will give us the advantage to actually hear that and see that. I worked with Emerge Virginia and Virginia's List, which is Emily's List local component. And both the local heads of that have been like, I can't get over how amazing this crop of women is. It's not that there's so many of them, but it's that I put them in a room and they are just incredible. And I can't wait to hear more from every one of them. And going through the Emerge boot camp, it was the largest boot camp that Virginia Emerge has ever had. It was 21 women for a weekend. every single one of us was able to sit and listen and learn from each other, which is such a strength of women, I think, that we don't celebrate enough. We're okay to say, I don't know this. I don't know anything about this. Let me learn from you. I could not get over how incredible the room full of women I was sitting in was. 21 women, every single one of them, some of them running in primaries against each other that I was like, I have no idea who I would vote for if I was in that primary. I'm so glad I don't have to choose. So I think that's the biggest thing. The perception right now is that it's a novelty and it's identity politics. We are our identities. We are women. And we are veterans. And we are lawyers. And we are politicians. And we are people who have sat in the galleries at the General Assembly. And we are people who have marched. And we are mothers. And that's the same thing I think a lot of people are seeing with what Kim has done with LWCC from the outside. They're like, oh, that's cute. We're a lot more than cute. And I think that as long as we keep putting ourselves out there, they're going to have to accept that. And I think that's a big part of what we have to do.
And I think that people are starting to notice. I mean, we have major candidates that are coming to our meetings to talk to us. And they either have realized or should realize very quickly that there are a large number of groups that are like ours. We are not the only ones. They're all over the country. We're the people that are showing up to the elections, especially the local elections. Turnout is historically very low. But if you think about one county has 2,000 people, and we're not alone. We all have friends and families too. So if all 2,000 of us show up to the polls and we all bring five people with us, we're huge.
These women speak my mind. And I just want to add to that by saying I'm a strong believer in gender equality. And I think your question highlights the fact that we're not there yet. We have a long way to go. But our community, our state, our country and our world will be better served when we have more women in position of leadership, and it's reflected where we have the population reflected in the leadership.
This closes our first episode of Liberal Women of Chesterfield County. Tune in next week to hear their continuing conversation about women, politics, and the future of Virginia. You've been listening to Women in Politics, recorded here in the studios of WRIR 97.3 FM. I'm your host, Carol Olson. On today's show, we had women from the community coming in to talk about issues important to them, what they want their delegates and legislators to hear, and what they plan to do next. For more information about independent radio, to learn, donate, or volunteer, please go to WRIR.org.